Well, good evening, Harmony, and welcome to the midweek Bible study. This is Pastor Stephen Baker, and we're glad you could join us. And today we're going to be continuing our study through the book of Ephesians. We'll be finishing up chapter 3 in verses 14 through 21. And the title of the message is Life Inside. Life Inside. And before we get started with the Bible study, let's go ahead and pray. And we want to continue to pray for the members of our church that are hurting, that are sick, and those with cancer, and those struggling with other things. So let's go to the Lord in prayer, and we'll begin. Heavenly Father, thank you for letting us be in your house this evening. I do pray that you would forgive me of my sins, and I pray that you would fill me with your Holy Spirit. And I do pray for our members. I pray for those that are sick. I pray for Miss Myrtle. I pray for her treatment. I pray for Steve and Cindy. I pray for Andy Crafton. I do pray for all those who are sick and hurting, and those who are going through it. I pray for Miss Lois. I pray you'd heal her. I pray for Joe. I just pray for John and Carolyn, and I pray for our entire church family. I pray for Miss Dot. I pray for Leanne. I pray for Miss Wylene. I just pray for everybody. I pray for Miss Shirley. And I just pray that you would strengthen us and give us guidance and give us hope. And I pray that you would help us to worship you and study your word. I pray for all the churches meeting that are preaching your word faithfully, and I pray for your protection upon them and your blessings, and I pray that you would bless us. We ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the name above every name. Amen. So, life inside from Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 through 21. And the first thing we're going to look at is the inside man. The inside man. Verse 14 says, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." So Paul is going to pray. And of course, kneeling is not the only way that you can pray. The Bible also talks about standing while you pray. And there are other ways to pray, other postures that you can take. But kneeling is certainly one of the ways that that Paul prayed and that we pray today. It's a common way for us to pray. And even when you're a little child, you're taught to kneel and say your bedtime prayers. And so Paul says, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." Now, in verse 1 of Ephesians 3, he said, "For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles." And in that case, the cause that he was talking about was the gospel from the previous chapter, chapter 2. Whereas here, the cause seems to be what he's about to pray for. The rest of this chapter is Paul's prayer made for the Ephesian church, and it's a beautiful prayer, and we're going to study it. And he says, "Of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named." So the church is a family made of believers both in heaven and on earth. And we're called believers. We're called Christians. We're the Lord's people. And so that's the whole family he's referring to, of whom the whole family in heaven and in earth is named. That he would grant you, now here's what he's praying for. That he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. So the inside man, the inner man. And so we need strength, physical strength. We need strength with the outer man to do things. And of course, the older we get, usually the less strength we have. Now, some people are the opposite of that. I know that my father, when I was first born, at least my mother and father both had told me that he was really out of shape. And they went to an amusement park with me as a little kid, and he had to sit down. My mother had to walk me through the park, but he was so out of shape. And they had me when they were in their 40s. And he started going to the gym and working out. And by the time he was 50, he was in better shape than when he was 40. And so that is possible. But the thing is, that is being taught here is about strength in the inside, in the inner man. And really what you are in the inside is more important than what you are on the outside. Now the inner man, the spiritual part of you, is what connects with God. And it's interesting that Paul gives this very vivid picture of he's kneeling in prayer. That's something you do with the outer man. You kneel physically. But then prayer is something that comes from the inner man. And so his prayer is that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. So he's praying that the Holy Spirit would strengthen them spiritually. And you know, we have to have strength in the inner man. We have to have strength on the inside in order to serve God. And we have to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And actually, towards the end of Ephesians, Paul says, "Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." We need the empowering of the Holy Spirit. We need the fullness of the Holy Spirit to live the Christian life. And, you know, it's easy to get weary in the work. It's easy to get weary serving God if you're not feeding the inner man and if you're not strengthened by the Holy Spirit. And the truth of the matter is it's easy to get weary even when you're reading your Bible and even when you're doing these kind of things because of all the pressures of life. And that's why it's so important to be filled with the Spirit and to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. Because the inner man is what can keep you going. And Paul talks about, he wrote, "Lest you be weary and faint in your minds." Because the first place that we faint is in our minds. We give up first inside before we ever give up physically. And so this prayer is for strength in the inner man. That he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. And now as he continues the prayer, we not only see the inside man, but the inside foundation. The inside foundation. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. That ye being rooted and grounded in love. Now, the heart in the Bible is referring to, sometimes it refers to the physical heart, but usually it's referring to the thoughts, emotions or affections, and will. And so he's saying here that Christ may dwell in your thoughts by faith, that he may dwell in your affections by faith, that he may dwell in your will by faith. And to dwell means to make himself at home. You know, it's one thing to stay in a place temporarily. You know, you go to a hotel and you stay there, but you're not setting up your house there. But when you're home, you do certain things and you have certain things that you wouldn't have in a place you're staying temporarily. And the prayer here is that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. And Dave Guzik says, two ancient Greek words convey the idea to live in. One has the idea of living in a place as a stranger, and the other has the idea of settling down in a place to make it your permanent home. Dwell uses the ancient Greek word for a permanent home. So Jesus wants to settle down in your heart, not just visit as a stranger. And of course, the Holy Spirit permanently indwells every believer, but the truth of the matter is that many believers don't allow the Holy Spirit by faith. They don't allow Him to make Himself at home in their lives, in their hearts, in their thoughts, in their emotions, in their will. Because their thoughts are consumed with things of the world, and their affections are set on things of the world, and their will is towards things of the world instead of towards things of the Bible and things of Christ. And so we have to pray that God would allow, that He would make it so that Christ may dwell in our hearts by faith. And we have to believe in all these areas. You've got to believe God and trust God in your thoughts. You've got to trust God in your affections. You've got to trust God in your will and do the will of God. And so, as we trust God in those areas, as we have faith in those areas, Christ dwells in our hearts. And that's what that's talking about, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love. Now, rooted is using, Paul is using the illustration of a plant. A tree takes roots. And grounded, he's using the illustration of a construction project. So a building is grounded with a strong foundation. And so we are to be established in place in love. However, this is not talking about our love for Christ, but rather it's talking about His love for us. God's love will establish us in place. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height. And to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. So this is an interesting verse, and if we go back, he's praying that we may be able to comprehend along with all saints. It's a joint thing. Of course, Paul has been talking about the church, Jews and Gentiles in one body in the church, and he talks about the family of God in heaven and on earth, and so he's talking about the corporate body of Christ, the whole church, and this is a prayer for the entire church that we may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge. So this is an impossibility. In fact, he names two things that we can strive for but not attain. And the first one is to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge. And the second is to be filled with all the fullness of God. We can strive for these things, but we're not going to attain to them in this life. We're not going to know the height and the depth and the love of Christ, which passes knowledge. We're not going to know that. We can gain experience in it. We can know it in an experiential way, and we can be knowing it, but we can't completely know it. We can't completely comprehend it. And neither can we be filled with all the fullness of God, at least not in this life. The verse implies, verse 19 implies that if I were to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, then I would be filled with all the fullness of God. However, since I can only grow in my knowledge of Christ's love, then I cannot attain perfection in this life. Adam Clark said, among all of the great sayings in this prayer, this is the greatest. To be filled with God is a great thing. To be filled with the fullness of God is still greater. But to be filled with all the fullness of God utterly bewilders the sense and confounds the understanding. And to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now, filled with here is not the same thing as being filled with the Holy Spirit in Ephesians 5:18, which is attainable and commanded for every believer. In that case, fullness of the Spirit basically means empowerment by the Holy Spirit to live for Christ. And every believer is commanded to be filled with the Spirit. But here, filled with all the fullness of God implies that I am emptied of sin and fully controlled by and filled with everything that God gives and everything that God is. But the good thing is that the more we know the love of Christ, the more we are filled with God's fullness. You know, Paul earlier used the illustration of planting, of a tree grounded with roots. And of course, Jesus said, I am the vine, ye are the branches. And he said that the branch can't survive without the vine. And he said, without me, you can do nothing. And so, the vine delivers nutrients to the branch and allows the branches to grow and blossom. And so we need to be connected to Christ. We need, by faith, to be growing in our knowledge of the love of Christ. And as we experience God's love, God's grace, God's forgiveness, all the love of Christ, as we experience that love, then we are filled more and more with the fullness of God, and we get to experience more of that fullness. Because the truth of the matter is, we're incomplete without Christ, and we're never going to experience His fullness and what we need to satisfy our lives unless we're dwelling by faith on His love for us. And a lot of people want to dwell on what they can do for God and a list of do's and don'ts and works that they can do, which normally are created by men. Men have created these lists. And so they say, well, if I do this and I do this and I do this and I do this, then check, 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 it'll make my pastor happy. If I show up for visitation every Saturday, if I read my Bible through in a year, if I don't listen to a certain kind of music, if I wear a certain kind of suit and tie and dress, if you're a lady, if you wear those things to church, if you do certain things, if you don't go to certain places and you do go to certain other places, if you're in church every time the doors open, then you'll be right with God. And their whole life is about, and maybe your whole life is about, checking off things on a list. Even pastors do that. We have a list of things we have been taught that you must do as a pastor to be a good pastor, and we check those things off. And if we're doing those things, we feel like we're accomplishing something. We feel good about ourselves. And if we don't do those things, then we feel like we're failures. And the truth of the matter is, the Bible says that by faith, we need to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge. And so, and be filled with all the fullness of God. And so, that's a lot better. You can just deep dive into the love of Christ and not worry about pleasing men, but worry about pleasing God and knowing that God loves you and that God has forgiven you and that God's grace is on you and working in your life. And as you're knowing the love of Christ, you're being filled with all the fullness of God, and it's flowing through you, and you can experience a real relationship with God and not a bunch of rules that you do to please people. And that's a wonderful thing. And that's what God saves us to. He saves us to have a relationship with Him. Now, we've looked at the inside man. And we've looked at the inside power. Or excuse me, now we're going to look at the inside power. The inside power. Now unto him, this is verse 20, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. So this is an inside power. This is the benediction to the prayer. And it's fitting that after Paul prayed that the Ephesians know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, and that they be filled with all the fullness of God, that he would pray this benediction. Because only God can make that happen. And again, the emphasis is made about the inside life, according to the power that worketh in us. That is, the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's working inside every believer, and we need power to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or think. We need power to see that come to pass, and that is a power that is working in us, Paul says. It's not just the power of God working upon us, but it's actually God's power that's in us that is working in us, and that's the power of the Holy Spirit. And how powerful is that power? Well, it's the power of God. Romans 8:11 says, "But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you." And so the same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead, the power of the Holy Spirit, is inside of you. And so you have power to serve God and to live for God and to experience God's love in your life. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Now, are you in a situation where you don't know what you're going to do? You don't know what to do. You don't know what your next move is. You don't know where to go from here. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to his power that worketh in us. The Holy Spirit works inside of you, and the Holy Spirit can show you. He can lead you into all wisdom, all knowledge. He can show you what you need to do. He can give you the power to do what you need to do. He can stop you from doing things that you don't need to do. The Holy Spirit can work in you. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. So, God is glorified in the church throughout every generation. Every generation glorifies God in the church, because every generation people are being saved. That's the cool thing and the wonderful thing about being a part of God's family and being a part of this church, is that in every generation, you go back 100 years and they were seeing people saved. And we come to the year 2020, which by most accounts is the worst year ever. But if we come to the year 2020, we are seeing people get saved in droves. We are seeing people get delivered. We're seeing people who were bound by addictions and problems get set free. We are seeing God move. Glory. God is glorified in the church throughout every generation. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. The expression "world without end" means forever and ever. It's a way of saying forever and ever. So this is the benediction. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Let it be so. And so, as Paul closed his prayer, this is an inside thing. It's an inside work of God, and the inner man is more important than your outer man, because the Bible says the outer man perishes. We're growing older. Our bodies, I hate to say it, but it's true, our bodies are falling apart. We're growing older. But the inner man, the Bible says, is renewed day by day. And so every day we need to get in the Word of God. We need to take the Bible in, and we need to pray, and we need to experience a relationship, a personal relationship with God on a daily basis. The inside man, the inside work of God, the inner power of the Holy Spirit, we need to feed and experience a relationship with God on the inside. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for these thy people. I thank you that you can strengthen us in the inner man, that you can give us inner strength, that you can give us peace, that we can experience your love which passes knowledge. And I do pray that you would help us to just dwell on you and receive what you have for us. I pray you would make your home in our hearts by faith. And I pray that we would just be able to live for you and experience your life. We ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the name above every name. Amen.